ಪ್ರಯುಕ್ತಾನ್ ಭೋಜರಾಜೇನ ಮಾಯಿನಃ ಕಾಮರೂಪಿಣ ಲೀಲಯಾಜನು ದತ್ತಾಂಸ್ತಾನ್ ಬಾಲಕ್ರೀಡಾ ನಕಾನ್ ಇವ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅನ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್. ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ವಿಜರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹು ವರ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಅಸ್ಯೂಮ್ ಎನಿ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ದರ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಭೋಜ ಕಂಸ ಟು ಕಿಲ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. But in the course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks dolls. Purported by Srila Prabhupada. The atheist Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna just after his birth. He failed to do so. But later on he got information that Krishna was living in Vrindavan at the house of Nanda Maharaj. He therefore engaged many wizards who could perform wonderful acts and assume any form they liked. All of them appeared before the child lord in various forms, like Akha, Baka, Putana, Shakata, Trinavarta, Dhenuka and Gardhava. And they tried to kill the lord at every opportunity. But one after another, all of them were killed by the lord as if he were only playing with dolls. Children play with toy lions, elephants, boars and many similar dolls, which are broken by the children in the course of their playing. Before the Almighty Lord, any powerful living being is just like a toy lion in the hands of the playing child. No one can excel God in any capacity, and therefore no one can be equal to or greater than him. Nor can anyone attain the stage of equality with God by any kind of endeavor. Jnana, Yoga and Bhakti are three recognized processes of spiritual realization. The perfection of such process can lead one to the desired goal of life in spiritual value. But that does not mean that one can attain a perfection equal to the Lord by such endeavors. The Lord is the Lord at every stage. When he was playing just like a child on the lap of his mother Yashoda Mai, or just like a coward boy with his transcendental friends, he continued to remain God without the slightest diminution of the six opulences. Thus he always unrivaled. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we will discuss about demon Trinavarta. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Trinavart denotes different kinds of arguments and philosophies caused by false pride. And because of this false pride, one naturally feels that he has something to speak, he has something to offer to the world. So therefore, he propagates his own philosophy and he makes different kinds of gods. Our Kirti Raj was explaining, he said, if you read the American dollar, which says, in God we trust. What is that God for Americans? What is the definition of that God? The definition of that God is gold, oil and defense. So, we see that, very beautiful, and it makes lot of sense, and therefore they can write and have a different kind of understanding. So this pride is caused because of power, and there is a pride caused by the power of intelligence, and there is also the pride caused by the controlled mind. Therefore, one time Maharaja is mentioning, Sadananda Maharaja is mentioning, devotee is not known, he is not famous because he is a controller of his senses. Of course, he follows the principles, but not the way the yogis control their senses. It is quite difficult to stay here for 7 days, but there are certain sadhus, they stay for rest of their life throughout the year. And compared to what it is there during the December, it is nothing now. But they stay and they are able to control their senses. But it may appear that the devotee is not very good in that. In fact, he doesn't like it also. So therefore, devotee is known as a lover of Krishna. He loves Krishna. Free from all kind of pride. And pride, it is explained, pride increases along with ignorance. Even though one may take ignorance as knowledge, but because he is proud, he assumes that ignorance to be knowledge. And in fact, knowledge without devotion, it is explained, if you have only knowledge of the scriptures or any other subject matter, knowledge without kindness is cruel-heartedness. It is fanaticism. And knowledge without religion or knowledge without connection with spirituality is death. So therefore, we see that our acharyas give a lot of importance, as Radha Gopinath was explaining yesterday. In fact, everyone is more eager to hear appearance of Narad Muni than to my speaking. But still, I will speak because it is ordered. So we see that because of this pride, caused of three modes. Recently, His Grace Pradyumna Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's Sanskrit scholar, he had come. And he was saying that everybody, all the conditioned soul, whenever they receive something, any knowledge, that knowledge is influenced or it is flavored with gunic mind. We have three modes. We are affected by the three modes. Sattva guna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. And depending upon which guna we are situated, the knowledge gets contaminated. The spiritual knowledge gets contaminated. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, it is not very wonderful that not everybody will appreciate what Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, is not even a detailed knowledge. It is a very, it's an ABCD of spiritual life. He does not go elaborately to speak about himself. How is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he performs his pastime. He does not speak. He just speaks very briefly. And one time, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was explaining that what is this confidential knowledge means? He says the confidential knowledge means, which will not be appreciated by everyone, he gave a very beautiful example. He said, he quoted Srila Prabhupada giving the lecture. So just like a man, one who loves his wife, always carries the picture of his wife. And now not everyone will appreciate that. If he goes around showing that picture of his wife, they will call him as a crazy man. Only he can appreciate, his close friends can appreciate, and his children can appreciate. Similarly, Krishna's knowledge is like that. Not everybody will appreciate. In fact, when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, he made it very clear for the sake of Arjuna. Even though he was not elaborate in explaining his supremacy, but time to time, whenever there was a need, Krishna explained his supremacy, that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that Arjuna can be benefited. It is just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not like that kind of boasting. It is not boasting. It is not false pride. It is real presentation of his identity. For the sake of Arjuna's benefit. One time Radha Gopinath was giving an example that when he was staying with his parents and his father had this hobby of gardening. He would go out of his home and had a small garden and every day he would go and clean the garden, cut the, you know, weeds and make it very nicely. And when you are gardening, you are not in your regular clothes. You look like a gardener only. And one man from a welfare society came asking for charity. And when he came for asking for charity, it is natural a person who comes for asking charity will not ask the gardener that gave me a charity. He will say, I want to meet an owner. So this man came and started asking, I want to meet your owner. Where is he? So that I want to talk to him. And his father said, what work do you have? He said, no, I want to meet your owner. Now for the benefit of that person who was seeking charity, his father said, I am the owner. Now that is not false pride. So similarly, Krishna, time to time explains that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to boast, but to reveal that how it is beneficial for you to accept me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And unfortunately, those who read Bhagavad Gita without the attitude of devotion, there was one great so-called sannyasi, Prabhupada would always take all opportunities to dismantle his philosophy. That was also part of his devotional activities, to dismantle this kind of sadhus. And this man, he was a great scholar of the Vedas. He had read Bhagavad Gita. In fact, he commented on Bhagavad Gita. And in his commentary, he explains, after reading the Bhagavad Gita, he said, just see the great arrogance of this Krishna. How can he claim he is God? He is so boastfully, time to time, in all the places, he is seeing Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but because of his pride and envious nature, he is not able to accept. He said, just see how he is boastful that he claims he is God, when everyone is God, because he was the follower of Maya philosophy. And when he read Ramayana, in Ramayana we see Lord Ramachandra running after Mother Sita in great spiritual separation. And he called that as, just see this Ram, who is claimed as God, he is running after his wife like an ordinary henpecked husband. That's how he writes in his commentaries on different textbooks. So therefore we see, even though one may read the Shastras, he will not be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just to be separatist, to have their own independent philosophy, they create their own philosophies. Therefore Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, there are many, many philosophies in India, there are many, many philosophies outside India. And they're all caused because of false ego, which comes in contact with their intelligence, which is nothing but the product of mode of passion. So what do we get out of that? It's nothing but mode of passion presented in a different form, which is called as knowledge. But that knowledge is nothing but great ignorance. So we'll try to see what are these philosophies and when we will study the story of Trinavart, who denotes or represents disloyal controversy or different kinds of arguments, and how Krishna killed this Trinavart demon. In the Western world, there are many philosophers, again philosophers means by their mode of passion rebelling against the regular path. One of the way to understand their philosophy, or one of the way to create a philosophy, is that they have a clear-cut understanding that do not become submissive to anyone. If you are submissive, then you cannot analyze them properly. Don't be submissive. And that is the whole point. Without submission, one cannot understand anything. And they derive submission. And therefore they create so many philosophy. One philosophy is anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means they say that God exists because you want Him to exist. You see that there is a human body, and because there is a human body, and humans derive different kinds of experiences in their life. And based upon human experience, you give a shape to a God who is non-existing. Therefore, anthro means in Greek, it is man, morphism in shape. So God receives shape based upon the human experience. Otherwise, He does not have His own existence. Just like one time one professor, you know, one student asked this question, who is the cause of God? And the professor said, I want to answer. And his answer was, the cause of God's existence is your desire to know Him. Your desire to know Him. Only because you desire to know Him, therefore He exists for you. And for those who don't want to know Him, there is no God. So it is a relative term. So that is the philosophy of making God based upon human experience. And then another kind of philosophy is, there was one great philosopher in the West, his name was Descartes. And this philosopher was so averse to God. His understanding was that we can calculate everything based upon mathematical principles. By mathematical calculation, by scientific advancement, we can do everything. There is no need for any God where we should depend upon. And he said, because of mathematical calculation, I am quite sure that I will live more than 100 years. I will be surprised if I live less. Of course, unfortunately, he lived only 52 years. And he was not there to be surprised, because he was dead. His philosophy is also quite famous. And then there is henotheism. By studying the Vedas, the Western scholars, so-called scholars, especially Max Muller, when he read the Vedas, his conclusion was, again, these Western Indologists were so arrogant and proud, they were able to study Sanskrit better than many Indian scholars. But the whole approach of studying Sanskrit was trying to be critical and trying to find faults with the Vedic religion. They were biased. They would not accept the principle of submission. So by studying, he said, look, these Vedas, what are they? There are many gods. There is Agni, there is Indra, there is Chandra, there is Ganesh, there is Vishnu. And all of these gods are fighting. There is a fight for supremacy. And this is what the Vedic religion is. So because they are absorbed in their own fight, they cannot protect anyone. Just like our political leaders, all the time, they are more interested in holding their own seat rather than helping people. So he considers them to be like that. They are all the gods, they are fighting for the supreme position. And they also say that in the Vedas, sometimes only Agni is referred, Indra is referred, but you don't find Vishnu. Vishnu is later addition. In fact, one Indologist, he said, Krishna was a rebel. Kamsa was like a capitalist. He was a big king. And Vrindavan was also part of Kamsa's territory. And the villagers were quite simple, they would offer all the taxes. But Krishna became the first rebel in that village. He went against the rule of Kamsa and ultimately he killed Kamsa. And that's how he got his supreme position in the Vedic literature. That is how they imagine so many things by their false pride. And then of course there is another philosophy called relativism. What is that? Everything depends upon my view. If I believe, it exists. If I don't believe, it does not exist. You cannot prove anything. When you say that it is all based upon my perception, it doesn't matter what you think, what you say, what you believe. You may believe that, I may believe this, it all depends upon a relative perception. There is no absolute truth. That is their philosophy. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the greatest whirlwind was created not only in India, beyond India, these two philosophies. What is that? The philosophy of Mayavad and the philosophy of Buddhism. These are the greatest whirlwind philosophies, more than all these Western philosophies. Not many people know Western philosophy, but the Eastern philosophy in the form of Buddhism and Mayavad, that went beyond the continent of India. In fact, one devotee was mentioning recently, what is the most famous religion in the world now? Either it is Mayavad or Buddhist. Because these two philosophies, they give very powerful color of being very religious. When you practice Buddhism or Mayavad philosophy, it makes you feel that you are perfectly following the path of religion, but it is atheistic at the core. Outrightly atheistic. And Lord Krishna in Krishna Lila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he destroyed that demon who presented this Mayavad philosophy. That was Paundraka Vasudev. He claimed himself to be God. In fact, up to such a level, again he was, you know, told by his friends that you are non-different from Vasudev. Why not send a letter to him? One acharya explains that he covered himself. He looked like a person who is acting in the drama. But one thing he was lacking. What was he lacking? He was lacking Srivats. Because Srivats is a natural mark on the Lord. That is, differentiates from other devotees in the Vaikuntha planet and the Lord. All the Vaikuntha Vasudevas also have four-handed forms. And Krishna also has a four-handed form as Narayan. But what is the difference? The difference is the Srivats. Other Vaikuntha Vasis do not have Srivats. So he explained that this Vasudev, to claim himself to be God, he dressed himself and he burnt his chest to show that he is also Vasudev. So that there is also Srivats. So that was the first demon who presented monistic philosophy and Krishna killed him. And where did he begin from? There was this Vasudev, founder he belonged to, he's from Kashi. Therefore Banaras, as Prabhupada explains, is the seat of Mayavad philosophy. So these two philosophies caused greatest whirlwind and destroyed all the Vedic religion. And because of this two concepts presented by the followers of Buddha and Mayavad, the followers of Vedic religion became very superficial. They lost the substance. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in one place, to add Buddhistic philosophy, the many other sub-religious principles were established. And they were all atheistic. And the reason was again the pride of the high-class Brahmanas. The Brahmanas had this spiritual knowledge, but because they were proud of their spiritual knowledge, purity sometimes also, rather than causing kindness, causes pride. And because of that pride, naturally one feels that I am superior and others are lower. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, many Kshatriya kings accepted Buddhist philosophy because they were harassed by the high-class, proud Brahmanas. They accepted Buddhist philosophy. And because of accepting Buddhist philosophy, the principle of Buddhist philosophy is that you have to practice non-violence. And for a Kshatriya to accept non-violence, Prabhupada condemns it in the Bhagavad Gita. He says on the battlefield of, if you are on the battlefield, and if you want to practice non-violence, that is foolishness. And many kings accepted Buddhist philosophy, and as a Kshatriya, when there was an attack from an outside force, an irreligious force, in the name of non-violence, they could not chase them away. To such an extent, it is explained that when King Ashok, the Emperor of India, when he accepted Buddhism, there was one department of medicine in Ayurveda, that is Susrusha Samhita, and that involves surgery. He stopped surgery all over India. He said, you cannot perform surgery because it is violence. Just see, a person when he accepts a philosophy and it's not applied properly, you cannot apply it properly. And the philosophy itself is wrong. There is no question of applying it in a time, place, circumstances. He stopped people, the doctors, from performing the surgery. And therefore there was a big gap. The science was lost. And then the Vaishyas were exploited by the arrogant Brahmanas. They took the shelter of Jainism. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. The Vaishyas took shelter of Jainism, which is nothing but another way of Buddhism. And the Kshatriyas accepted the philosophy of Buddhism. And they lost their vigor as a Kshatriyas to fight against the injustice. In this way, the whole Vedic society lost its substance and devotional service appeared to be covered over. So these are the two greatest turbulent factors. And all of these philosophies were produced because of false pride. And it is also explained, Srila Prabhupada explains, even in the Vedas there are six kinds of philosophies. And only one amongst them teaches pure devotional service. They may have indirect perception of Paramatma. They may talk about self-realization. But most of the philosophies, even though there is a talk of God, but that God is dependent factor, not independent factor. There is Nyaya, logic of Gautama. There is Vaisheshika of Kannada and there is Sankhya philosophy of Kapila. This is not the devotional Kapil, this is atheistic Kapil. And there is Yoga Patanjali. Now all these philosophies appear that they are taking us to God, but at certain point of time, they lead people away from devotion to God. Just like Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, they are performed. They take you up to Paramatma realization. But unfortunately, when you reach up to Paramatma realization, Srila Prabhupada explains, there is a confusion that I am that Paramatma. There is no perception of devotional service. One time when we were traveling in our bus party, we happened to visit one ashram because they had to stay somewhere. And in the early morning when we got up, we said, let us go and see their deities. And when we went there, there was a huge picture. And it was the form of Paramatma up to the neck. The Lord has four hands with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. He was bluish color, but this part was not of Lord Vishnu, but some Maharaj. Huh? And they said he had performed tapasya, he followed this Yoga Sutras. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that sometime a practitioner of a Yoga Sutra has this confusion that when he sees the Paramatma, he feels that I am that same Paramatma. So therefore all these philosophies unfortunately do not give rise to devotion to the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. Therefore in one sense they are all failures. And only the Vedanta philosophy of Vyasadeva is the proper philosophy. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would explain, even if all the libraries of the world whatever knowledge they have, if all that knowledge is destroyed, it is not a loss. Why? If you still have one Bhagavatam, if that is there, then there is no need for lamentation. But if Bhagavatam is not there, then all other books are useless. They simply lead one to nescience or ignorance. But if Bhagavatam is there, then it can avoid everything. So therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, to destroy this philosophy, we need the Supreme Personality of Godhead to present it properly. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. In one stroke, he destroyed 60,000 Mayavadis. He just spoke to them one time, and again with great humility, in one stroke, these Mayavadis were condemning Lord Chaitanya. In fact, they are so blasphemous of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is explained, these Mayavadis are condemning the Lord, saying that he does not have the leg, he does not have the hand. And because of this, Prakashananda Saraswati is suffering from leprosy. He is saying God does not have hand, therefore he has been punished by leprosy. He himself does not have the hand. But still he cannot accept this, he cannot understand this. So Lord Chaitanya came to him, there was a debate. Of course, more than the debate, Lord Chaitanya attracted him by his personal charm. He attracted Prakashananda Saraswati by his personal behavior, simple behavior. And seeing that, Prakashananda Saraswati got converted. And following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of his followers, up to Srila Prabhupada, and further. Their whole philosophy is what? Srila Prabhupada personally wrote his pranam mantra. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Nirvishesha refers to Mayavad philosophy and Shunyavad refers to Buddhist philosophy. As long as these philosophies are there, it is very difficult to practice pure devotional service. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, is the only authority. Nobody else is authority there. Only Krishna is the authority, and all the Vrijvasis are natural devotees of the Lord. And in Vrindavan, the art of loving Krishna involves in complete dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Krishna consciousness means the art of learning to depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition. And if anyone comes with different kinds of yogic potency or different kinds of mystical activities, either they will be killed or they will be taught lessons. All the demons who came, they had all kinds of mystic potencies. Most of them, they were killed. And the demigods like Indra and Brahma, they also exhibited their mystic power. But they were taught lessons. But only the Vrijvasis, they did not exhibit any mystic potency, but they conquered Krishna. That is Vrindavan. So, this Trinavarta demon, when he decided to come to Vrindavan on the order of Kamsa, Srila Prabhupada explained very nicely that every living entity has a natural affinity to hear about something very attractive activities. But unfortunately, all that is doubted towards hearing about mundane topics. And that will only lead us to stay in this material world life after life. So therefore, Krishna, to attract all the conditioned souls and give pleasures to his devotees, he decided to perform this pastime of killing a demon Trinavarta. So one time, when Krishna was being raised by his mother, she was fondling him. And then Sukadeva Goswami explains, Ekadauraham Arudam Lalayanti Sutam Sati. Yashoda Mata was playing with her child Lalayanti means, Srila Prabhupada explains that moving like this and throwing in the air. And when you throw the child in the air, most children, they enjoy it. There is a smile on their face. In fact, sometimes they laugh loudly also. They want it to be done more time. So when Yashoda was playing with her child, suddenly she felt that Garimanam Shishor Vodhum Nasehe Giri Kutavat. Abruptly the child appeared to be very heavy. What to speak of, you know, playing with the child, she was not able to hold the child also. And how heavy the child was, as if it was a big mountain. And Srila Prabhupada explains, this pastime took place when Krishna was 1 year old. And why suddenly Krishna became very heavy? Because by the Yoga Maya potency, Krishna realized that Trinavarta is going to come. And if Trinavarta comes to Vrindavan, and if my mother, if she is playing with me, and Trinavarta will snatch me from her lap, and that will be the greatest distress to Mother Yashoda. So therefore Krishna, he did not wanted Mother Yashoda to suffer so much. So therefore he became very, very heavy. So that naturally by seeing that heaviness, Mother Yashoda will keep her child down. At the same time she remembered Lord Vishnu. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, she looked in the sky towards the Vaikuntha planets. And she prayed to Lord Narayan, my dear Lord Narayan, you have given me this child, so please protect this child. Maybe some demon is going to attack. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Mother Yashoda did not realize that Krishna is the heaviest of the heavy. Because in the form of Ananta Shesha, he carries unlimited universes. He carries unlimited universes. Therefore, Krishna is the heaviest of the heavy. But because Yashoda Mata was acting, she was surprised. And then Sukadeva Goswami explains that Daitya Namna Trinavarta Kamsa Vritya Pranoditaha Chakravat Swarupena Jagarasin Arbakam. Immediately Trinavarta came in the form of whirlwind. And when he came, immediately pulled a child, because Yashoda had kept the child right outside of her house. And because of the powerful wind, the child was raised to the sky. Srila Prabhupada raises one objection. What was not able for Mother Yashoda to carry, how is that Trinavarta could carry Krishna up? Krishna was playing his pastimes. He was exhibiting different potencies. Krishna, immediately after being kept on the courtyard of Mother Yashoda, he became as light as a grass. Therefore, it became very easy to Trinavarta to take Krishna into the sky. And this demon was so powerful, he covered the whole entire Gokul with different kinds of dust. And all the pots were flying, the dust was being raised. It covered entire Gokul. In fact, Kavi Karanapur explains that he disturbed the natural elements of the earth. The entire 14 planetary system contains 5 elements. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. But this demon, he created an imbalance and he made only one element, that is wind. So therefore, nobody could say anything. And in fact, Kavi Karanapur explained it was just like the hissing of thousands of Naga snakes in the separation of their husbands. And nobody could say anything. It was completely covered. And then immediately when Yashoda came inside the house, she realized her mistake. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explained, it was not her mistake, but it was Krishna's arrangement. Even though she knew that there is some danger is going to come, how is that she could keep her child outside? That is normally not possible. But Krishna covered her intelligence under the Yoga Maya potency. But immediately, he made her realize that you made a mistake of keeping the child outside. So, when Yashoda came outside, she could not see her child. And she was looking here and there, everywhere, and all the gopis came. They were also looking for Krishna. But nobody could see Krishna. And there was a great turmoil. And meanwhile, when Trinavarta went into the sky, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that because Krishna was being, you know, Yashoda was playing with the child, and she could only lift him little bit, she would throw him little bit, but Krishna said, I want to go into the sky. I want to jump into the sky and come down. So that enjoyment I want to have. So therefore he had become very heavy, and he went into the sky. Another reason Krishna went into the sky, because all the damsels of heavenly planets, they were regularly hearing about Krishna's pastime. So they are very eager to see Krishna. So Krishna wanted to reciprocate, so therefore he went into the sky. And when all the damsels of heavenly planets saw Krishna, they became very satisfied. Then Krishna decided, now it is the time. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when Krishna went into the sky, both were exhibiting mystic potency. Trinavarta and also Krishna. There was a competition. Krishna was exhibiting his potency and Trinavarta was also exhibiting this potency. And Prabhupada explains they were exhibiting the yogic siddhi called Mahima. And then once Krishna went into the sky, then immediately Krishna started becoming very heavy. When he started becoming very heavy, Trinavarta realized that it is very difficult. He has become unbearable. So he wanted to push out Krishna so that he can save himself. But Krishna was holding the Trinavarta's neck so tightly as if he was very fearful that I will fall down. Therefore, he was holding it very tightly. And Kavi Karanapur explained that when Krishna was holding Trinavarta's neck, it appeared that the demon Trinavarta was covered with a blue sapphire. It was a very beautiful scene. And then Krishna stayed there in the sky for some time. He played with Trinavarta. Then he decided, now it is enough. Get a nice ride in the sky. Now he decided to kill Trinavarta. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains, when Krishna was holding Trinavarta as if he was fearful, but he was not like an ordinary child. He was a Adbhuta Arvakam. And Prabhupada translates as not differed from ordinary child. He was a special child. So he was holding very tightly Trinavarta. And then Krishna started pressing his neck. And Trinavarta started realizing that I am going to lose my breath. He tried very hard to save himself from Krishna. But it was not possible. Why it was not possible? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was exhibiting its strength. And Prabhupada explains that was the last time Trinavarta could exhibit his mystic potency. Because the Yogeshwar, the mystic potency of all the yogas, Krishna is the Yogeshwar. He is the king of all the mystic performers. So when he grabbed the neck of Trinavarta, he started pressing it. And Trinavarta started losing his breath. And in the sky only he was killed. And it is explained, Krishna's hand has a flavor of musk. With that hand, Krishna smashed the head of Trinavarta. And that hand looks like the stem of the lotus flower. But still, for Trinavarta, it was like a thunderbolt. When Krishna smashed Trinavar, Trinavar came down to the ground, crashing. Srila Prabhupada explained that he fell flat. And Krishna was playing on the chest. For Krishna it was a safe landing. But for Trinavar, because he fell flat onto the ground, all of his senses were dislodged. All of his limbs were broken. He became like a pulp, crashing onto the slab of Vrindavan. And when he fell down, Krishna is playing on the body of Trinavar. But all the Vrijbasis, when they saw that scene, they were aghast, they were fearful. Seeing Krishna playing on the dead body, the ghastly dead body of Trinavar, they were quite scared. They came running. And they came running, they picked up Krishna. They started, you know, seeing that, is there anything wrong with Krishna? And then, different Vrijbasis started speaking differently. And one Vrijbasi said, just see, this is the protection of Lord Narayan. Because Krishna is very innocent. And because of innocency, and the demon, because of the demon, he had this wrong intention of killing Krishna. He wanted to eat Krishna. And because of his cruelty, he is killed by the divine providence. He has died because of his own sinful activities. And Srila Prabhupada explains that all the Vrijbasis were thinking that Krishna is protected because of his innocency by Lord Narayan. Srila Prabhupada explains that is the sign that if you are not innocent in devotional service, you cannot progress. Innocence is one of the greatest quality to advance or to make a reciprocation with this Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that was the great quality of the Vrijbasis. Even though they felt that Krishna is an ordinary child, like any other child, but still they had this great confidence that Krishna will be protected. And also had this great confidence because Gargacharya had told that this child will help you to cross over all kinds of dangers. Therefore, even for a devotee, we discussed about different kinds of philosophies born out of false pride. They are all atheistic philosophies. And some have some connection with spirituality. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, even the devotees can be proud of their devotional philosophy. Therefore, Lord Krishna has to consume one forest fire which represents the pride and taking part of one kind of devotional philosophy and making others, you know, insignificant and small. Therefore, one time in Los Angeles, some devotees started having this Gopi Bhav Club. And the principle of this Gopi Bhav Club was that many devotees would come together in a very, you know, closed room, and they were only discussing about the gopis' pastimes of Vrindavan. And they were directly condemning the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, this is lower, this is not for, you know, the high devotees. They were becoming offensive towards the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. And they were only concentrating on discussing about the gopis. And somebody sent a message to Srila Prabhupada. And immediately Prabhupada came to Los Angeles. When he came to Los Angeles, he called upon those devotees. In fact, these devotees were so ignorant, but at the same time very proud. When they told, Prabhupada said, what are you doing? He said, Prabhupada, you are discussing the highest point of devotional activities, the pastimes of the gopis. Prabhupada said, that is nonsense. They said, no, it is the highest, so therefore we are discussing. Prabhupada said, no, there is no higher and lower, everything is the same. They were shocked. They said, no, Prabhupada, this is higher. He said, no, everything is higher. Nothing is lower. He said, grass in Vrindavan, animals of Vrindavan, and Radharani, there is no difference. He said, the animal of Vrindavan and Radharani, there is no discrimination. Everything is same. They were quite shocked. They said, how is it possible? You only write in your books. He said, no, no, everything is same. No high and low. And then Prabhupada said, for you people, because you are in the bodily concept of life, on that level you are making a discrimination. For you, everything is same. There is no high and low. First you understand this principle, and only on the higher level, when the advanced devotees, on the principle of rasa tattva, they can make discrimination. Otherwise, if you make that discrimination, you will fall down. If somebody practicing Lord Chaitanya's philosophy and he sees some great Vaishnava who is practicing, you know, regular philosophy of Vaishnavism, which is pure, many times this happens when devotees read that Prahlad Maharaj in Chantaras. They are aghast. What? Prahlad Maharaj in Chantaras? And I am follower of Lord Chaitanya, that means I am in Madhuraras, therefore I am higher than Prahlad Maharaj. That is height of arrogance. So therefore, even while practicing devotional service, it might happen that one may lose that innocency. And when we lose that innocency, it is natural that even within the devotional circle, as Gopinath was speaking about, the essence of Kali Yuga is that there is no essence. So similarly, there are two principles of Kali Yuga. What is that? Quarrel and hypocrisy. So quarrel amongst Vaishnavas is there. In fact, one devotee was mentioning in one sampradaya, there was a court case for 35 years. In regards to one Vaishnava stopped from coming to the temple because there was some technical problem in his Vaishnavism. He was a sannyasi, so when he saw that he has been stopped coming to the temple, he filed a case during the British rule. And that court case went for 35 years. They could not solve it. So that means even as a Vaishnava, what happened that there was an arrogance that we are the greatest of the Vaishnavas. So therefore when Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching Krishna consciousness, yes, for the sake of preaching in Jagannath temple, he did not go inside the temple because he said, they are not allowing my Western disciples. I will not go inside the temple. And sometime it is explained, some devotees explain, that was Srila Prabhupada's, to show that these devotees are not that they are non-devotees, they are devotees, to prove that anyone can become a Vaishnava. But otherwise he never wanted to disturb the natural activities, just like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. They were the greatest of the Vaishnavas, but they never entered inside the temple. Why? Because they felt that they are low-born. They never forced themselves. Sometimes we see that some devotees want to cover themselves, you know, try to go inside the temple, and if they are successful, they feel, okay, I got the darshan. But that is not the actual mood. The actual mood of the Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnava, is that that been taught by Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Haridas Thakur. They never even tried even once to go inside. What to speak of going inside? Sanatana Goswami would not even go close to the worshippers of Lord Jagannath. In fact, he would take a different route so that he would think that if they see me, what will happen? They will be contaminated. Their worship will be contaminated. So therefore, here we see that to consider to lose that innocence in devotional service. One time Srila Prabhupada was talking, he would regularly comment that how devotional service is so profound. That by chanting only once one can go back to the spiritual world. And some devotees would be very calculative. Oh, Prabhupada, only by chanting once one can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, you are being calculative. You are trying to play around with Krishna's facility. That means, rather than understanding in this way, if one can practice devotional service so little and go back, what is the benefit of practicing more? Rather than thinking like that, because your material mind, you are thinking of doing less. That is not devotional service. That is fruitive intention. In fact, in Mayapur, one devotee was planning to chant 64 rounds. And Prabhupada called that as a karma mimamsa. He said, this is not pure devotional service. What is this? This is karma mimamsa. That I do this much, therefore I can get the result. He said, that is not devotional service. Devotional service involves very much innocency. And the Brajbasis are the best kind of devotees to exhibit that. So they are speaking so many things. That just see how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They didn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. They were thinking that Narayan is protected. And for Krishna's protection, they were willing to do everything, anything and everything. And Nanda Maharaj came there. He started speaking. How Krishna is protected? Krishna is protected because we must have done great pious activities. We have opened many wells. We have created roads. And we have given charity. Therefore, our son is saved. And Srila Prabhupada explains that such activities even materially give us protection. And when one becomes worshipper of Lord Vishnu, when we worship Lord Krishna, that helps you to acquire lot of pious activities. And when you acquire pious activities, even materially Krishna protects you. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada explains, quoting Rupa Goswami, that anyone who is suffering, one who is having a chronic disease, one who has an ugly form, one who is in the having many court implications, and what is the fourth one? No, deformed body, legal implications, and diseased body, and one is born in a lower family. It says this is because of their impious activities of not worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happens? Even materially will be protected. One time Srila Prabhupada told us to Bhavanand Prabhu. He said this British queen, she is the most pious lady. He was shocked. Prabhupada, how is that? You know, she eats cow's meat, she does everything. How is that she is most pious lady? He said, if she is not most pious, how is that she has got all the wealth, all the education, all the beauty, all the fame? Because she has all of these things, that means she is favored by the Lord. She is the most pious lady. He said, that is as simple as that. One cannot argue. Now, unfortunately, she might be misusing her previous pious activities. But she has that piety. In fact, what to speak of this? Srila Prabhupada explains about Nawab Hussain Shah also. The Nawab Hussain Shah, he was a cow killer. He was destroying so many temples. But he said, the mere fact that he became a king of Bengal, that means he had to be a pious. Otherwise, one cannot attain high post without being pious. And what to speak of that piety, which involves worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Brajbasis were not simply ordinarily pious, but they were supremely pious. They were eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, they never considered that we are being protected because they are great devotees. That is what we see in Vrindavan. Sometimes devotees ask, why is it they worship demigods? Why they are going to different demigods if they exclusively were devotees of the Lord? But they never considered like that. A devotee of the Lord never considered himself to be exclusive devotee of the Lord. Therefore, for their own increase in devotion, what do? They approach different demigods. Not to seek benediction from them, rather to increase their faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And unfortunately, sometimes it is seen that somebody comes to Krishna consciousness, he handles the demigods in a very offensive way. He disrespects them very offensively. And that is not accepted in the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. In fact, some Vaishnavas, they are so fanatical about being devoted to Lord Vishnu, one of our devotees from Sri Sampradaya was saying that his guru had taught him that when you are going to the market and coming back to your home, and in between there is a Shiva temple, when you go from your home and come to the market and come back, it is like one circumambulation to Lord Shiva. So you should not do that. Just see that one can be proud of being a Vaishnava and disrespect the greatest Vaishnavas also. So this is what the Brajabasis are teaching. In Vrindavan, there was regular worship. Of course, we are not recommending. Srila Prabhupada did not separately tell us to worship different demigods. But that doesn't mean that one has to disrespect them. Unfortunately, many times within our society this was done. The demigods were blasphemed, the demigods were disrespected, and by that they created another philosophy, not respecting the demigod. That is not the Vedic philosophy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Vaishnava, he travelled all over South India. You read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He went to Devi temple also. He went to Lord Shiva's temple also. He visited everywhere. But in what context? Seeing them as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore the proper philosophy or the right philosophy can only be experienced when we maintain the art of remaining simple. And that is the greatest challenge for the Vaishnavas. And that's what Srila Prabhupada writes in one Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. He said the most difficult thing for a Vaishnava, or the most difficult thing for a practicing devotee, is that to become humble. So that is the most difficult thing. So therefore, we see that one who is able to practice that, in fact, sometime for a practicing devotee, as one time Maharaj was mentioning, Radhanand Maharaj, that when you only become a speaker, when only become a teacher of devotional principles and not hear from others, then the finer aspect of Krishna consciousness are not understood to you. Then you become so habituated to only to speak to your subordinate, and when there is a problem for you, he was quoting one example of one of his god brother. He was frankly telling his condition. He said, "Now I've been so much conditioned to give instruction, I cannot take any instruction." He said, "It's too much for me. I cannot take instruction from anyone." Why? Because all these years I was only giving instruction. That is another kind of whirlwind. And what happens, that whirlwind? It takes you to the sky in the form of big position, and from there only drops you down. When it drops you down, your limbs get crushed. It's a very risky and very dangerous. Therefore, one time, you know, one devotee asked Janani Vastro and Pankaj Angri Prabhu, they are the sign of extreme humility. Why? Because as we become advanced, not in realization, advanced because of years. So this is a great challenge for those who are seniors to sit and hear under a junior devotee. Usually it is quite easy to hear from the spiritual master sitting very close to him. But to hear from a junior devotee, one goes far away. That is a challenge for everyone. But these two devotees, whoever is giving class, quite amazing. They will sit in the same position, no change in the position, and hear with the same rapt attention. So they were telling, they said, it doesn't matter who is speaking. It doesn't matter who is speaking, doesn't mean that unbona fide person. But as long as a bona fide devotee, either one is advanced or not advanced, but one is on the path of devotional service, one is sincere to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, he said, if you hear from them, he said, the sound vibration, it completely purifies you. So therefore, there should be no negligence in hearing. And there is no alternative to hearing a live class. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada introduced the Bhagavatam class, wherein everyone comes to the temple. Cassettes are there. If there is no other choice, if there is no other alternative, one can hear to the cassette. But there is no other alternative for hearing live. Then it doesn't matter who gives the class. As long as he is a sincere devotee, recommended by the authorities, to hear from him will only make us advance in Krishna consciousness. We will discuss that when Shukadev Goswami arrives on the bank of the Ganga. If you read all the sages who were there when Shukadev Goswami arrived, they are much senior to Shukadev Goswami. And the two topmost seniors, who are like his gurus, Vyasdev and Narad Muni, were also there. Now Narad Muni, what kind of spiritual master is he? He changed one who taught Shukadev Goswami also, Vyasdev. He was the guru of Vyasdev. But when it was decided by everyone that Shukadev Goswami should speak, Narad Muni sat there, Vyasdev sat there to hear Krishna Katha. So therefore this is the greatest challenge for a practicing devotee, and especially those who are in the leadership position. And therefore Srila Prabhupada established this. When we come to Mayapur during the regular festival, it is a very nice scene to see that all the sannyasis are sitting like any other devotees and hearing from their god brothers or god sisters. And that is seen, that gives confidence that when they will speak, because they are also hearing, they can change people's heart. One time, one devotee was saying, I think it was Sridhar Maharaj, he told, there was one devotee, he was a very brilliant speaker in Srila Prabhupada's movement. And it became so much that at one point of time he stopped practicing for regular principle. He stopped chanting Hare Krishna. But still when he would come and give class, it would be so impressive, not inspiring, very impressive classes. Both those who are very sincere and honest devotees, they could realize that there is no substance in this. It will not take much time to detect the faults in this devotee. And sure enough, unfortunately, you know, that person gave up practicing devotional service. Why? Because he did not learn the art of hearing from others. And there is no substitute for this. And only when we do like that regularly in the association of devotees, whoever is giving that class, then our advancement is guaranteed. Sometimes it is seen, and it is quite natural that to hear from our person whom we have love and trust, it is quite natural. It is very spontaneous to hear from the spiritual master. But at the same time, if he is not giving a talk, sometimes this happened with our congregation. I can take this opportunity to explain that one time, you know, one sannyasi was supposed to give and everyone was sitting. It was decided that he is not giving and somebody else is giving. 80% devotees walked out, and that was a bad scene. The devotee, the speaker, got very, you know, discouraged by seeing that all the devotees walking away and they had no other service. That was the only service they were supposed to hear. And that was the bad sign. Srila Prabhupada, in fact, regularly there was a speaker in his room. And he would hear his devotees speak the Bhagavatam class. Not only with the intention of correcting them, but with the intention of let the sound vibration go into my ears. And even though his disciples would speak, he would encourage them to speak and he would hear regularly from them. That is the art of becoming simple. It is not simple to become simple. We have to go through this process. And that's how the Brajbasis exhibit. Therefore they worship demigods, not that they lack faith in Krishna, but because they never considered as the greatest of the devotees. So therefore Nanda Maharaj is considering all these things. And then Nanda Maharaj, he again remembered the words of Vasudev, that there will be a regular danger and therefore you need to protect Krishna properly. And then after the whole incident was over, Mother Yashoda, you know, she took her child, Lord Krishna, and then she started speaking out of affection. She said, "My dear child, since you have taken birth, you are causing so many troubles to me." Not in the mood of, you know, chastising or cursing Krishna, but she said, "Since you have taken birth, so many troubles are there. This Putana demon came, Shakatasur came, Trinavart has come." Then Yashoda said, "But it is not that it is your fault. It is my fault. I was so careless that even though I realized there is some danger, I kept you outside. It was my fault. It is not your fault. You, even though I did not take care of you, you are still merciful and loving to me." And she fed Krishna her breast milk. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami explains, this is one of the greatest character of the Lord. What is that? He is causelessly merciful. There is no cause to be merciful, but still he is very causelessly merciful. And Trinavart received greatest mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who comes in contact with Krishna, Trinavart actually fell down. He broke his limbs. He was crushed. He became like a pulp. But even though it happened to him, but because that fall was caused by Krishna, it is explained, Srila Prabhupada explains, sometime a devotee falls. Either he falls because of negligence of his spiritual life, or he offends devotees, or Krishna arranges his fall down. But if a devotee continues to practice devotional service, Kavi Karnapur explains in one place, the fall of a great soul is like the fall of a ball. Because when the ball falls to the ground, what happens? It rebounces. And the fall of an ordinary person who poses to be a great man is like a lump of clay. When the lump of clay falls down, what happens? It does not rise back. But eventually that clay, when it becomes dry, it gets stuck to the wall, it gets stuck to the floor. So Trinavart, in his previous lifetime, he was a devotee of the Lord. He was from the Pandu Desh and his name was Sahasraksha, not Sahasrakavach. He was Sahasraksha. And one time, when he was in the jungles, he had gone for excursion. And unfortunately, he offended Durvas Muni. Durvas Muni came there and he neglected to, you know, give attention to Durvas Muni. When Durvas Muni saw that, you know, so proud of his position, is not giving attention to me. Maybe that was Durvas Muni's perception. But he saw like that. For the good of Trinavart, for the good of the Sahasraksha king. And Durvas Muni cursed. He said, "Because you are arrogant and proud, you become a demon. A demon without a proper body." He became a demon named Trinavart. And then he cursed, but at the same time he also gave the benediction also. When Sahasraksha, Lord Vishnu's devotee, he begged his forgiveness that, "Sorry that I did not give attention to you, but please don't curse me like this." So Durvas Muni said, "Don't worry, when Lord Krishna appears in the land of Vrindavan, when you go to Vrindavan as a demon, by the touch of Lord Krishna, all of your demonic mentality will be destroyed. And you will gain your original position of becoming a devotee of Lord Vishnu." So even though he had fallen from the position of being a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, but because he came in touch with great sage and eventually came in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happened? That even though he fell down, Krishna caused his fall. But that fall, it liberated him back to the Vaikuntha planet. So it is worth falling like that. If you fall to the ground and that will lead you to higher understanding of Krishna consciousness, then there is nothing like that. And Trunavart was the object of Krishna's mercy. So therefore Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in this pastime that these different kinds of philosophical arguments should be very carefully seen. And when we practice devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this demonic mentality of pride, because that is the greatest disturbing element to the devotee. One can overcome lust problem, one can overcome greed problem, one can overcome problem of the anger, but to overcome the problem of pride, just because you are connected to something very profound philosophy, it is quite natural to be proud. And that will again lead to materialistic activities. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole philosophy is based upon practicing humility, and only in that condition one can attain spiritual perfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So tomorrow we will discuss in the morning the third demon, the demon Vatsasur. 1 minute. Vatsasur demon, he represents juvenile offense. Juvenile offense means bala dosh. That Vatsasur came as a calf, young calf. And it's one of the most beautiful description given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in regards to how to raise children in Krishna consciousness. So also he speaks about what children should do to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. So everybody is requested to be attentive or come to this tomorrow's class to discuss about the demon Vatsasur. Radha Gopinath has a comment. Only one mic.
With his brother and wanted to hear and all that, he was also too simple. So, what is the difference between simplicity of that nature and simple mindedness and simplicity? So,
of a devotee. Radha Gopinath was asked quite simple question. For me, it is quite difficult. The question is that we say that one has to be simple, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita there are two instances where two devotees apparently be very simple, that is Kala Krishna, because he was too simple, he was influenced by the Bhattaris. They captured him and took him to their camps. And Bhagavan Acharya, that he was willing to hear the Maya philosophy because very simple. And the third example is also of the Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He misunderstood the fisherman to be Lord Krishna under the influence of different people. So therefore, innocency doesn't mean that he is philosophically ignorant. One can be a profound philosopher when he is presenting the philosophy to others. Therefore, a devotee sometimes has to act in two ways. Srila Prabhupada was a profound philosopher, but at the same time he had the innocency of the child. One of the explanations of innocency I have heard is that you present the way you are. If you act what you are not, that is hypocrisy. That is sophisticatedness. And when you act like that, you know, this was one time, you know, we were discussing with Radhanand Maharaj, and he said that we were discussing, you know, sometime people expect us to become, you know, follow like him. He said it is not possible. If you act the way he acts, you will fall down. He acts the way you are. Especially for a practicing devotee when he takes up to the position of a leadership. And sometimes, unfortunately, falls into this trap of acting what he is not. Because he's in the leadership position, just to, you know, create that impression to his subordinates. He acts, he changes his role, and that is very risky. That should not be done. That can be very dangerous. In fact, some devotee was saying when Prabhupada gave some devotees sannyas, or they took sannyas, they forced Prabhupada to give them sannyas. They were actually learning the art how a sannyasi should walk, how he should hold a danda. That means what? Doing something what you are not. That can be very risky. And then again, an innocent devotee, even if he makes a mistake because of his simple nature, there is always a support system for him. Like, even though Bhagavan Acharya was innocent, and he made a mistake, he was immediately corrected by Sarva Damodara Goswami. Ballabhadra Acharya was corrected immediately. And Kala Krishna Das was also corrected by Lord Chaitanya immediately. So therefore, it is better to be simple. And when a simple person is there, he always follows the authorities. It is quite easy for him. But one is very complicated, he has to make his own group. And when he makes his own group, he does not have superior guidance. And when there is no superior guidance, he becomes so complex. No. Then the nature of the subordinate is that they act two ways. The subordinate, they overpraise you, they flatter you, they say something which is not your quality. And secondly, when they see something fall, they pull you down so badly, they throw stones at you. These are the two natures of the subordinates. But a friend, because he's a friend, even if you make some mistake because of your innocency, he corrects you lovingly. He does not flatter you. And whatever is there, right on your face. Because he knows that he's my friend. And even if he feels bad, it is not good for him. So therefore, innocency involves acting. This is what personally it was told to me. And innocence means acting the way you are. Not imposing something what you are not. That is the most dangerous thing. And even if somebody is innocent, like Yashoda Mata and Rohini, they acted innocently and they gave their child to Krishna. They gave the child Krishna to Putana. That was wrong on their part. Their life and soul, because of their innocency, Prabhupada writes, Vasudeva was innocent. Nanda Maharaj was innocent. And Vasudeva was diplomat. Therefore again, in managing the society of Krishna consciousness, this was discussed by one devotee when we were taking seminar on leadership in Mayapur. He said, as a devotee, sometimes he may have to act in two roles. He has to act as a leader also, as a manager also, and as a devotee also. And very rare people have these qualities of playing both the roles. When you have to manage society, you need competence. If you don't have a competence and if you manage something, you create a fiasco. It is bound to happen. Even though you are a nice devotee, but if you are given a position to manage something, it doesn't mean that because you are a nice devotee, therefore, because management involves material system. What will happen? You know, you are innocent, you are very nice, you have the character, but if you don't have the competence, you are going to create the fiasco. It is bound to happen. And if you have the competence and no character, because it is not a material institution, so your competence, because there is no character, will also fail. In the material world, they don't care if you have the character or no. Competence is important, because it is a material society. But it is not like that. Spiritual society is not like that. You may have the competence, but if you don't have the character, it is bound to fail. And if you have the character and no competence, it is better. Why? Because somebody will help you. Okay, at least you have the character. If you don't have the competence, somebody will help you. But the most honest devotees, what they do? They are very clear. They said, this is not cup of my milk. So better I don't get involved in this. I just practice pure Krishna consciousness, never get involved in management. Inspire devotees by, you know, preaching Krishna consciousness. So this is, and one devotee was said, this was one great quality of Prabhupada. He had the character and he also had the competence. And many of his god brothers, you know, they lacked. They had either one of them. Of course, many had great character, but they did not have the, you know, the competence to establish. They could not imagine how to establish worldwide mission. We cannot say that, you know, they were not pure devotees. Of course they are pure devotees. Almost all of Bhaktisiddhanta sannyasis, they maintained their sannyas, they went back to Krishna, living their body in the holy place. No doubt about their character. But some other, they could not imagine the vision of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In fact, there would be discussions regularly. What does it mean by Prithvi Achyuta Nagara Adhigram? Maybe Prithvi means only India, only Prithvi means only Bengal. They would actually have these discussions. But Prabhupada could grab that vision. Therefore, this Swami Chidanand, one yoga leader, you know, he was discussing with, when Maharaj came to, Ranan Maharaj came to Rishikesh, he was discussing. And he was telling the story of Prabhupada. And he said, how Prabhupada gave him the order, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, in the first meeting only Bhaktisiddhanta told him that he should go and preach in the English language. So he interrupted this. Dhanan Swami interrupted. He said, no, this is not order, this is a revelation. He said, this is not order, this is a revelation. He could see, this is the person. And he accepted it. So therefore, you know, as far as my, you can share your understanding, others, devotees, senior devotees can say, that innocency involves, most importantly, acting what you are, so that devotees can regularly correct you. Not, you know, doing something which is not your character. Of course, that doesn't mean that you act, you know, because you are coming with a bad background. You know, you act in a whimsical way. Therefore, the four regulative principles are there. Therefore, the stricture is there. Therefore, the 16 rounds is there. That, as a sadhana, one has to follow. But there are certain characters which cannot be changed. It is not possible. An introvert person, it is very difficult for him to become, you know, relating with other people. He may do it as an austerity. An extravagant person, if he tries to become sober, not have any friendship with anyone, he will fail miserably. So that is the, sorry I took long time, but that is simple understanding. Yes, Prabhuji. Therefore, it doesn't mean that he avoids services. Because without service, he cannot progress. Doesn't mean that because you don't have the competency. In certain aspect, you may not have the competency. But always you can act as the assistant to somebody who has the competency. Saying that I don't have the competency doesn't mean that, you know, you have to avoid the services. Because without service, there is no life. One cannot actually make any advancement in spiritual life. Then the whole, you can chant 64 rounds, you can study Bhagavatam for 15 hours. But because the whole process is service, you become a bookworm. One time Prabhupada told, Pradyumna Prabhu was mentioning, he was carrying different kinds of books. And only he had Harinam, also that, he had this Hari Bhakti Vilas. And what is Hari Bhakti Vilas? Hari Bhakti Vilas is written by Sanatana Goswami, which talks, and ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which talks about what principle a devotee is supposed to follow. And then Prabhupada saw that book and Prabhupada said, if you read this book, you will go to hell. He was shocked. He said, I was shocked. He was only telling personally. He said, this is Prabhupada, Sanatana Goswami. He didn't argue with Prabhupada. In his mind, he was thinking, this is Sanatana Goswami's book. And by reading, I will go to hell. Immediately, he could not understand. But then he realized that by reading this book and practicing these principles, which are not according to time, place, circumstances, which may differ, Prabhupada has grabbed all the essence of that book and presented according to time, place, circumstances. And if you start following those instructions, Prabhupada was saying that you will naturally become proud. Just you only shave on Purnima. I don't cut my nail on Sundays. Because the Shastra says, what happens when you cut your nail on Monday? What happens when you cut your nail on Tuesday? What happens if it cut at 6 o'clock? What happens if it at 7 o'clock? All these rules are there. And when you start following it, naturally you see that these are not following. Therefore they are fallen. And when you say that others are fallen, then you become fallen. You are already fallen. Then you go to hell. That's what he was telling. Pride comes and then you start thinking others to be fallen. So, therefore a devotee of the Lord, naturally he will engage, has to engage in service. But there are certain services it is not possible for one to do. So therefore better you approach your... I remember Giriraj Prabhu's question to Maharaj many years back. He said, if you are not able to do some service, is it a fall down? Is it a failure? Is it a disobedience of the instruction? No. Madana Maharaj said, no, you go back to that teacher or a spiritual master, tell him, I was not able to do it. No, I tried so many times. And he might change the instruction. Or he might give you the facility or tell you some tips how to do it. But because you have approached of your failure with a submission, even though you are not successful, still you are not fallen. So this is how it works. So therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness involves, you know, presenting ourselves as we are. And so Sadguru Maharaj explains in one place, sometime it's quite striking, you know, it may take some time to understand. He says, sometime it is difficult for the spiritual master to, you know, see the faults of his disciples. You may wonder, how can Guru knows everything? This is Satsuro Maharaj writes in one of his books. He says, why? Because when a disciple comes to his Guru, when he comes in front of the spiritual master, he brings out the best out of him. It is not that a disciple is a hypocrite that is acting very nicely in front of the spiritual master. Just because you are in the presence of the spiritual master, naturally the best of yours comes out. And seeing that spiritual master encourages you. So Sasara Maharaj writes, therefore it is better for the disciple, time to time, to approach his equal God brothers. Why? Because the worst comes out. And then he can correct. Look, these are the bad things are there, rectify them. So that you can become best all the time in front of your spiritual master. Very nice point. I liked it very much when I read it first time. And we have experienced it. It is quite natural when you are with your guru. So many times devotees say that when we come to Srila Prabhupada, we would not even remember what question you were supposed to ask. Why? Because naturally all the good will come out. Therefore the friend has to be there. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is that friendship is important. Therein our mistakes are rectified. So we'll stop.
One last suggestion.
Yeah.
Instead of saying cup of milk, you can say cup of herbal tea.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we'll meet again in the evening.